Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
The economy by the numbers. Happy Friday. Welcome to the broadcast.
This is a good report. There's no doubt about it, but unfortunately, it's not good enough.
Unemployment numbers for the month of April went public today. They show the jobless rate in these United States remains at 3.6%. 428,000 new jobs added to payrolls, but economist Larry Kudlow says wages are not keeping pace with the rate of inflation.
Working folks are working. And they are getting jobs and they are getting paid, but inflation is robbing them of their real income. That's the big issue.
Wages up 5.5% last month. Inflation was higher by 8.5%, which means, says business analyst Maria Bartiromo,
you got a raise, you're feeling rich, you're feeling good, you want to go out and buy whatever you want to buy. Unfortunately, you just got a decline in wages because inflation is eating all of that and then some.
What now for the Dow? Stocks again in the red today after suffering their worst day in 2 years yesterday. Market analyst Adam Kunz.
Fear is driving the market. Investors don't know where to go with their money, and so they're just moving completely out of the market.
Kunz says investors are antsy about inflation sparking perhaps another recession. Abortion politics, the other big story today. The U.S. Senate plans a vote next Wednesday on an effort to federalize abortion law. Democrats plan to make it a campaign issue heading into the midterms now that Roe is under fire. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
People should show where they stand. This has been American law for 50 years.
The same day the Senate votes, a group of pro-choice activists will be protesting outside the homes of six Supreme Court justices in Maryland and Virginia. Conservative activist Kellyanne Conway.
They're saying Ruth sent us, referring to the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. No, she didn't. She never compelled anybody, never incited people to go to folks' houses. So I really hope everybody turns down the temperature and law enforcement gets involved because I'm very concerned.
The pro-choice protesters will target the homes of Justices Barrett, Kavanaugh, Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, and Roberts. Pro-life activist Russ Vogt.
They are trying to put massive pressure on the Supreme Court. They are trying to intimidate physically these individuals.
The White House is defending the actions of these activists. Press Secretary Jen Psaki said it is their constitutional right to go to the homes of those Supreme Court justices.
Man, how did we get to this point? People have become addicted to rage. It's not going to result in any alteration of the opinion. If anything, justices will feel that they have to stand their ground with even greater certainty. So this is just gratuitous. This is part of our age of rage.
Legal scholar Jonathan Turley. Texas Governor Greg Abbott wants the Supreme Court to expedite its abortion ruling following the leak of that draft opinion.
Don't wait around. Don't allow the bullying to occur on the streets and get the decision out now. The public has seen it. Get it out.
Texas, one of 13 states with a trigger law that would ban abortions effective 30 days after the Supreme Court rules. A left-wing Pennsylvania politician reacting to the possible overthrow of Roe by going after fathers. Democrat Chris Rabb of Philadelphia has authored a bill that makes dads-to-be liable for unwanted pregnancies. He wants a civil offense for wrongful conception. Pro-lifers call it a publicity stunt. Free speech under fire. 20 states now calling on the Department of Homeland Security to disband its newly formed disinformation board. Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody.
The person that they've put in charge of this has said it's Republicans that are disinformers. So it's anything that disagrees with this incredibly irresponsible, incompetent administration.
Moody says the Biden administration's Ministry of Truth is something you'd see in a communist regime, not in the United States. First Lady Jill Biden is on the Ukrainian border this Mother's Day weekend. She's meeting with war refugees 10 weeks into the Russian invasion.
It's so important to the president and to me that the Ukrainian people know that we stand with them.
Mrs. Biden has stopped plant in Romania and Slovakia. Correspondent Charlie Daggett has the latest from Ukraine.
Hundreds of civilians remain trapped in the middle of what has become a fight to the death at the steelworks in Mariupol.
Reporter Matt Finn.
A Ukrainian official is claiming a traitor, an electrician, showed the Russians how to get access to those tunnels, and Russians are now storming the plant by foot and with tanks.
Ukraine's president says women and children remain trapped beneath a steel mill.
They have not seen the sky for over 2 months.
Also today, we learned that U.S. officials provided the intelligence that Ukraine needed to sink that Russian warship in the Black Sea last month. Now to the U.S. border. In just a couple weeks, the Biden administration plans to rescind a Trump-era policy, and it will expedite illegal border crossings. Texas Congressman Tony Gonzalez.
A lot of people at the border are very antsy. I'm starting to see a lot of people line up on the Mexican side of the border. I'm talking thousands of people in preparation for Title 42 ending.
Gonzalez expressing deep concern over not just the flow of illegal immigrants, but also illicit drugs like fentanyl pouring into this country. A new Fox News poll shows 55% of Americans favor bans on sex and gender discussions in the classroom. Former Education Secretary Betsy DeVos.
We don't rank in the top 20 in any of the subject areas as compared to our international peers. And the focus needs to be back on children learning and children being prepared to succeed as adults. Parents know this. They're fed up with the government-run, union-controlled system. And candidates who actually embrace the pro-student, pro-parent, and pro-school choice agenda are going to clean up this fall.
The poll shows over half of voters support laws that ban teachers from discussing gender identity and sexual orientation with students before the fourth grade. A no-politics public school is thriving in Colorado. John Dill is the founder of Merit Academy near Colorado Springs.
We are a public school. We follow the rules. And as a policy, we just believe that certain controversial subjects are best taught at home by the parents, and our teachers follow that.
One of those teachers is Becky Edgen. She says issues like gender and race are not taught at Merit Academy. Instead, kids learn how to write, read, and do math.
It is freeing, honestly, to just be able to talk about history and science and the reality of things rather than bringing in my opinions. My opinion is not important. It's what the children take from the information that I give them.
Officials say the school was birthed out of a desire from parents in that community to keep politics out of the classroom. Splashdown this morning for four astronauts returning from the International Space Station.
Welcome home. It's been an absolute honor to support you on your mission, Endurance crew, and thanks for flying SpaceX.
The capsule parachuted down in the Gulf of Mexico off the coast of Florida. That crew spent almost 6 months aboard the ISS. They returned to Earth in the same space capsule that they blasted into orbit in back in November. Primary day just 10 days away in Pennsylvania, and voters will head to the polls increasingly worried about the economy and increasingly frustrated with President Biden. According to the latest Franklin and Marshall College survey, the president gets just a 33% approval rating in Pennsylvania. 43% of residents say they're worse off today than they were a year ago. In advance of the May 17th primary, former President Trump will headline a rally tonight in Pennsylvania for Senate candidate Dr. Mehmet Oz. COVID hospitalizations are up in New York's southern tier. Cases have been climbing since early April. Arnett Health infectious disease expert Dr. Justin Nestico.
I think it has to do a lot sometimes with the level of elderly patients that we have per the small area that we're in the southern tier.
Despite the uptick in COVID, Dr. Michael Scalzoni of Guthrie Health predicts cases will peak in the next few weeks.
Though I am troubled, the numbers have gone up a bit. If you look, the death rate is not. The death rate has continued to decline.
The FDA restricting access to Johnson & Johnson's one-dose COVID shot. This after 60 cases of a rare but serious blood clotting disorder.
Based on the fact that there are alternatives, vaccines that work and just as good, if not better efficacy, and have less side effects, it makes sense to limit the J&J vaccine.
Dr. David Agus says the clotting cases included 9 deaths. A gas drilling company in Beaver County, Pennsylvania, wants permission to draw millions of gallons of of water a day from a western Pennsylvania trout stream. Findlay-based Penn Energy says it needs the water from the Big Sewickley Creek to supply a nearby fracking operation. Buffalo, New York area Congressman Chris Jacobs is fighting to block wind turbines from being built in the Great Lakes.
We have spent the last 50 years trying to get things out of our lakes. We do not need things getting in them again.
Plans are in the works to put up over 1,500 wind turbines in Lake Erie. A couple colleges in New York State are helping to catapult the careers of students interested in the cannabis industry.
Farmingdale State College and Queens College will offer a workshop simply called Get Started in the Cannabis Industry. It's limited to 25 people to help them learn more about opening, managing, or working in the marijuana space. Two courses will be held this June. Natalie Migliori, New York.
Today is National Nurses Day, the 48th edition. A recent Gallup survey found that nurses are the most trusted professionals in America. The New York DMV has launched a new program to slam the brakes on catalytic converter theft. It's a growing problem nationwide. New York could be the first state to take action against these scavengers. Paul Sastiak runs a car dealership in western New York.
It's expanded to people's driveways, expanded to supermarkets and schools, medical equipment, medical trucks. So this is a growing crime that we need to attack.
A catalytic converter is an emission control device about the size of a loaf of bread. It contains metals that are worth more than gold. The DMV plans to slow down thievery by etching a serial number into the catalytic converter, which makes it easier to catch criminals who try to sell the stolen part. From Rochester, the latest inductees into the Video Game Hall of Fame will be announced today at the Strong Museum of Play.
Anyone who grew up in the 1980s likely spent a lot of quarters memorizing those sounds. Ms. Pac-Man, which debuted in 1982, was the highly acclaimed sequel to the original Pac-Man game and leads the Hall of Fame class of 2022. It remains one of the top five video games ever made, although no doubt some of the other inductees this year are sure to ring a bell, such as Legend of Zelda and Sid Meier's Civilization. And if those don't quite do it for you, maybe you were one of the many who worked up a sweat moving to another Hall of Fame game, Dance Dance Revolution. Mark Webster, Family Life News.
All right, thank you, Mark. From the Social Security Administration today, the top baby names from last year. Here we go. Olivia, tops for girls. Liam, the favorite for boys. Well, our favorite name in sports is Randy, as in Randy Snavely. This is the Noon Report.
Bob, I know the playoffs are going on in both the NBA and the NHL, but we have to start with baseball. What happened last night in Philadelphia? Well, you just don't see it happen very often. The Phillies had a 7-1 lead going into the ninth inning, and the Mets said, wait a minute, this game is not over yet. The Amazons scored 7 runs in the top of the ninth and then shut the Phillies down in the bottom half of the inning to win a stunner 8-7. Harper and Castellanos both went deep for Philadelphia, while Lindor homered for New York in the contest. But 7 runs in the ninth inning to pull it out. That's amazing. Elsewhere in the National League, the Brewers beat the Reds 10-5. Rockies down Washington 9-7. The Pods edge Miami 2-1, and the Cardinals won over the Giants 7-2. In the American League, the Angels shut out Boston 8-0. Cleveland 6-5 winners over Toronto. It was Baltimore 5, Minnesota 3. Houston squeaked past Detroit 3-2. And Tampa Bay beat Seattle 4-3. On the ice, the Rangers had a nice bounce-back game against Pittsburgh, winning 5-2 to even the series at 1. 5 different Rangers found the back of the net in the win. The Avalanche are now up 2-0 as they won in overtime 2-1, beating the Predators. Carolina won easily over Washington 5-1. The Panthers and the Caps now tied at a game apiece. And the Stars shut out the Flames 2-0. That evens that series up at 1. And finally this, 20 horses will be racing for the first leg of the Triple Crown this weekend. The 148th Run for the Roses, the Kentucky Derby, set for 6:57 Saturday evening. That is a look at sports.
All right, giddy up. Thank you, Randy. Still to come on the Noon Report, life after Roe in New York and Pennsylvania. Weekend weather with Josh Nichols and what moms really want for Mother's Day.
People say they want a world without Christianity, but many secular thinkers are discovering to be careful what it is you wish for. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Last month, the U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments in the case of a public high school football coach who was fired for praying on the field after games. Though his firing should have never happened, this now years-long controversy provided a sort of window into how so many in our culture feel about Christian prayer. Hint, they're not positive feelings. Still, one specific prayer, known as the Serenity Prayer, remains a part of our shared cultural language, a staple of addiction recovery meetings. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now, of course, Alcoholics Anonymous' official position now is that the God of the Serenity Prayer can be any sort of higher power you want it to be. But it's still profound that most addiction recovery programs continue to stubbornly insist that faith is critical for addiction recovery. A rediscovery of Christianity's practical benefits isn't just happening in addiction recovery. The more that various aspects of our culture struggle under the weight of bad ideas and their consequences, more and more people are discovering new solutions and old scriptures. Canadian clinical psychologist and self-described non-believer Jordan Peterson has become famous in part for his bold claims that Christianity has had a unique positive impact on both individuals and culture. Contemporary historian Tom Holland, a self-described atheist, literally wrote the book on the responsibility that Christianity bears for just about every good thing about modern culture. According to Holland, quote, Christianity is the principal reason why, by and large, most of us still take for granted that it is nobler to suffer than to inflict suffering. It is why we generally assume that every human life is of equal value. Non-believing author Tim DeRoach put forth what he called, quote, the secular case for Christianity. Here's what he had to say. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ is the most successful meme in the history of the world, and the spread of that meme over the last 2,000 years has largely been correlated with decreasing levels of slavery, war, crime, poverty, and general suffering. The same modern culture so scandalized by football field prayers and so put off by Christian sexual ethics must reckon with what Christianity has given the world, DeRoach argued. Now, we should, of course, welcome this kind of cultural self-discovery, though it is a little bit like that angsty teenager who rejects the ways of his parents in order to find a more enlightened way to do life, and after all of his experimentation, is forced to admit that his open-mindedness only led to suffering, and maybe his parents were right after all. Whether we acknowledge he's there or not, all creatures were made and are sustained by God. He knows best, and he knows us best. That he chose to reveal himself and his ways to us and the creation, the Bible, and ultimately in Christ, that is a tremendous mercy. Christian life isn't without suffering, of course, but it is the only life in which suffering has meaning, can be redeemed, and will ultimately be defeated. Christians who claim that publicly promoting Christian ethics is somehow intrusive or unloving just completely miss this point, as well as the related point that sharing the best way to live is a way of loving our neighbors. Now, to be clear, neither Christian faith nor Christian public witness is utilitarian. Christianity is not true because it works, but it does work because it's true. If God did not take the form of a man, if he had not died and then resurrected, if he were not on the throne of the universe, then Christianity's cultural benefits would not matter all that much. But he did, and so they do. The church's great opportunity here is not to say, I told you so, but instead to continue to say, come and see. The world's better because Christianity's true. Now, come and meet the one behind it all. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Mom's Day weekend is here. Josh Nichols next with the forecast.
This afternoon, we'll see a mostly cloudy sky over New York, a few showers over the Twin Tiers, and then a steadier rain breaks out for western, central, and eastern Pennsylvania. Temperatures into the upper 50s and low 60s. Cooler over central and eastern Pennsylvania this afternoon. Rather cloudy tonight. Temperatures into the 40s. And again, look for the rain to stick around through western, central, and eastern Pennsylvania right into Sunday morning with rainfall tallies on the order of a couple of inches.
All right, Josh, again, that rain mostly a Pennsylvania thing this weekend. It's Friday, the 6th of May, and this is the Noon Report. welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the noon report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are, as always, Jason McGuire at New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Well, gentlemen, let's jump right in. Perhaps you've heard there was a big leak at the Supreme Court this week. Let's talk about not so much the leak, but the ripple effect of reversing Roe now that proverbial cat is out of the bag. Jason, we'll begin with you. If the court does decide to change the law here, what changes in New York?
Well, not a lot will change in New York regarding access to abortion, except it may get worse. There is an effort, even in the final days of the legislative session, to expand abortion access again. This time, there's an emphasis on helping women from out of state come to the state to receive their abortions and providing extradition safe harbor for abortionists.
Yeah. Currently in Pennsylvania, Michael, abortions are legal up through 24 weeks. Does that change should Roe be struck down?
No, that's not going to change, nor the other laws that are on the books here in Pennsylvania. But what is looming in Pennsylvania is a Pennsylvania Supreme Court case that could basically make Pennsylvania look like New York or Virginia or these other states that have the extreme abortion laws. That case would mandate, if the Supreme Court rules as Planned Parenthood wants them to do, would mandate taxpayer funding of abortion in Pennsylvania and declare a right to abortion in Pennsylvania. So we're in kind of a danger zone, which is why we at Pennsylvania Family Institute are backing a constitutional amendment that will at least protect life in Pennsylvania.
So next week, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has scheduled a vote to federalize abortion law to try and get out in front of this decision from the high court. How would that throw a monkey wrench into whatever the court decides come June or July, Jason?
Well, I think that Senator Schumer knows that the votes won't be there. I think this is more an effort to energize the Democratic base in anticipation of the midterms. Democrats have been struggling to find an issue that would get their base to the polls, and certainly the abortion issue is one way they're hoping to get people motivated around a key plank of the Democratic platform.
Yeah, how much will this play in Pennsylvania, this effort to energize the base, to mobilize voters, Democratic voters, given this new conversation we're having about abortion, Michael?
Well, I think it will have certainly a role, but I think that was going to happen even if the decision came down in June. You know, I think that's sort of baked into the cake, as it were, going into this election. But, you know, both sides, I think, have the ability to motivate. We, you know, are calling for a Pennsylvania March for Life on September 19th here in Harrisburg because we believe the pro-life community can be very much energized in terms of moving forward to protect life.
Yeah. So much about abortion being legal, rare, and safe. We saw this week Tish James bragging about the abortion that she got 20 years ago. New York's governor also very adamantly pro-choice. I thought it was interesting, Jason, New York's not had a pro-life governor since before Roe v. Wade. How about Lee Zeldin and the others running for governor? How strong are they on the pro-life issue?
Yeah, you saw that recently Lee Zeldin was labeled by the Democratic Party as dangerous for his pro-life views. He was involved in a conference call, a webinar with the New York State Right to Life, and as a result of that conversation, he was dubbed dangerous. And he might be for the Democrats' agenda, but he has a pro-life position. So does Mr. Astorino, and appears as going to be a primary heading into the Republican ballot. And so I think there will be a number of candidates on that ballot who have pro-life positions. Mm-hmm. The question now is, what will voters do when they head to those polls?
We see where Mr. Shapiro is on this abortion politics spectrum, Michael, but talk about the GOP contenders, if you would, and how strong are they on the pro-life issue?
All of the candidates on the GOP side on the governor's race are strong pro-lifers, and several of them this week on social media were posting comments related to what appears to be the overturn of Roe versus Wade in very positive terms. So I think that mirrors the Republican Party in Pennsylvania and a substantial part of the electorate, and they seem to be holding firm even as this news has come out this week.
All right. Well, let's change gears a little bit, talk primaries. Jason, I'll try to make sense of this. The primaries for assembly and governor go for launch late June. Primaries for state States Senate, Congress, they've been delayed till August. There's been talk about maybe this benefiting former governor named Andrew Cuomo. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think that that June primary, while we say it's a go, it may not be. This is still in the courts. And if that is delayed and if this heads towards August, certainly that gives opportunity for Andrew Cuomo to run for office again. The Democratic Party here in New York is rapidly pro-abortion, and it was Governor Andrew Cuomo who promoted that late-term abortion expansion act. He signed it into law, and that progressive base will not forget that.
Yeah, hard to believe primary day, Michael, is just 10 days away now. A lot of people have been asking this question. Why can't the politically unaffiliated participate in the primary election? Do you think that needs to change?
I'm in the camp that says no, I don't think it should change. The way it's set up here in Pennsylvania is what are called closed primaries, where Republican voters, those who are registered as Republicans or conversely Democrats, pick the candidates that they think best represent their party to be the candidates on the ballot in the fall. And when you open it up to sort of open voting, then you could have, for example, people playing mischief and picking candidates that they hope will lose in the fall by voting for someone on the opposite side. So I'm in favor of keeping it the way it is. And those who want to vote in primaries can register in one of the two parties, even if they want to maintain sort of a independent profile as they vote.
Gotcha. Next week, Jason, and there's more information on this on your website. We'll give that at the end. But the left-wing activists are going to be rallying in Albany for inclusion of what they're calling the Equality Amendment in the state constitution. On the surface, that sounds like a good idea, but when you dig deeper, maybe not so much. How realistic is it that this would pass? And if it does, what does that mean?
Well, it's likely it's going to pass due to the pent-up energy right now regarding a kind of a post-Roe situation here in New York. But if this were eventually to become constitutional here in New York, it would prohibit discrimination on pregnancy outcomes. And so there'd be places that, such as pro-life pregnancy centers, that would have to hire people regardless of their views on the issue of abortion. What's interesting is in enshrining this progressive agenda into our Constitution, the debate that's bottling it up is whether or not religion should be included in that list of protected peoples.
Mm. Also, on your website, Michael, this just a big story that maybe is flying under the radar, but you're paying attention to it. The State Human Relations Commission wants to change the definition of sex. How does this threaten religious freedom and privacy rights?
Well, basically what they're doing is, and with the governor's assistance, is doing an end around of the Pennsylvania General Assembly in terms of creating a situation where the commission will make its decisions based on sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression. So it's in effect creating anti-discrimination laws, these sexual orientation, gender identity laws that threaten religion, threaten religious freedom, and are something that the legislature has said no to, and they're trying to do it by bureaucratic fiat.
Yeah. There was a big story last week, Jason. New York, one of several blue states, and how the COVID cash meant to keep schools open was divvied up. A lot of that COVID cash in New York that we thought was going to keep schools open during the pandemic instead went to expand critical race theory in the classroom. Is anyone in Albany throwing a red flag here? How did this happen?
Well, not a word is being spoken about that issue. This is something we're not hearing about in Albany, but I will tell you that parents across the state are concerned about diversity, equity, and inclusion agendas that are happening in public schools across the state. That's why the school board elections coming up are so important.
Yep, coming up fast 10 days from now. Michael, we'll end with you on this one. Your former health commissioner, Dr. Rachel Levine, making news this week by suggesting that pediatricians are all in agreement, 100% agreement, on the importance of gender-affirming care. First of all, what is that? And how damaging has this gender-bender ideology been for today's youth?
Well, I think this new disinformation panel that the Biden administration is creating should throw a red flag directly at Rachel Levine. I mean, that's just absolutely not true, that there's no controversy or difference of opinion on this. What this gender-affirming care is actually puberty blockers and hormones being administered to young people, even minors who want to go through what they call changing their sex. But then it also includes top surgery, bottom surgery, of taking off healthy organs on children. And this is wrong and something that should not be affirmed. And we oppose it at Pennsylvania Family Institute.
Unbelievable. Well, hey, just like that, our 10 minutes are up. But hey, learn more about this Equality Amendment in New York. What is that all about? Jason, you have a wonderful website, sir, where folks can go and learn more. What is that?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
And stay informed on what the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission is up to these days. Michael, what's your website, sir?
PAfamily.org.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Capital Connection comes your way Fridays during the Noon Report or online anytime at familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is the Family Life Weather Report. It's all about location, location, location here for this weekend's forecast, whether you get soaked or you soak up some sunshine. This afternoon, we'll see a mostly cloudy sky over New York, a few showers over the Twin Tiers, and then a steadier rain breaks out for western, central, and eastern Pennsylvania. And over central and eastern Pennsylvania, especially along the I-80 corridor, I think we're going to get really soaked. Could be some localized flooding issues as well heading into the weekend. Temperatures into the upper 50s and low 60s. Cooler over central and eastern Pennsylvania this afternoon. Rather cloudy tonight. Temperatures into the 40s. And again, look for the rain to stick around through western, central, and eastern Pennsylvania right into Sunday morning with rainfall tallies on the order of a couple of inches. For Family Life, I'm meteorologist Josh Nichols.
All right, Josh, thank you very much. And finally at noon, what moms really want for Mother's Day. Correspondent Liz Kennedy.
The perfect present comes in the form of manual labor, and that's help with chores. Mothers valued help around the house more than any other gift. The TimeToPlay.com survey also reveals that nap time is the hottest commodity. That's what mothers in 18 states choose as their ideal gift. A day off from cooking was also a favorite among U.S. moms. I'm Liz Kennedy.
Enjoy it, moms. You've earned it. That's the world we live in. Friday, the 6th day of May. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.